Blog Talk Radio.
Africa, emotle, Africa, home there, the beautiful African. Good day, good evening, Dumela, Travela. Leni, Ashe, Sava, Assalamu alaikum. Africa, we begin with the report from the Auditor General, Makwetu, indicating that this year, the country lost almost more than $20 billion. And that is in addition to almost more than $70 billion lost and unaccounted for. And in Africa, that's your money. That's your vote. In fact, the Auditor General was saying that the people must vote to correct the malfeasance, the corruption. So we repeat again, Africa, that you own the country. You own the country's money. Literally, you own the parliament. You own the politicians. You own the leaders. You got to vote and vote in a proper way, as we're saying that you got to vote as more Africa to have your ear and eyes right in parliament. You can call anybody you want to, wish to call, ask questions. You can call have your representative call the Auditor General and go deeper. In Africa, we've had the country has had the opportunity looking back and the continuance of the solidarity alliance with the people of China Republic, not Republic, but the people of China, mainland China, through their support, especially the support we cherish of the Pan-Africanist Congress in particular. If you remember, there were dichotomies. There were political, geopolitical spheres at that time, groupings. And we were lucky, Africa, as my Africa, to get the total support of the People's Republic of China. And China has pledged $74 billion to South Africa and almost 94 billion rands to South Africa. It's almost $100 billion. And Africa, I raised the issue of the lost money mentioned by the Auditor General, that in the interim we've lost almost $100 billion. And that the help that we get and that we cherish most, we've got to know that it's going to be held properly in Africa. And that's why I'm raising the issue, reiterating again that it's up to you, Africa. All rest with you. You've got the power to run the country properly. There is no excuse. And especially with the coming local government elections, Africa, begin to tire yourself, conscientize yourself. As we say that, do not say that nobody is talking to you, nobody is suggesting alternatives, because we are suffering, Africa. The majority are unemployed, are homeless. They go to bed hungry. And that scenario, that tragedy, it has to stop, but it rests with you because you liberated yourself. So, Africa, on this important day, December 5th, just passed, we've had our two prominent illustrious sons of Africa, Rolihlahla Mandela, transitioned to be an ancestor on December 5th, 2013. That is 2 years hence. But on this day, December 5th, 1924, that is the day when another illustrious son of Africa, Mangalisa Robert Sobukwe, was born. So we cherish both, Africa, because if you begin to isolate others, suppress others, try to bury others, derecognize others, you are going to be left alone. You are going to be left alone because, as we pointed out in the previous programs, even your children will leave you because why? You are not telling the truth. So let the truth stand on its merit, Africa. And we celebrate. We celebrate whoever did the contribution, all the participants in the liberation struggle, celebrate you because you only have one life. And when it mattered the most, you contributed towards our liberation, towards your own liberation. And those that have planted the seed and left, thank you. However, Mafika, we've got to point out that there were two major streams of political thought, of political action, of direction, program of action, different. And we did it, Mafika. However, we did it with no malice to one another. We differed politically. And it does not mean that if we differ politically, if we ideology are difference, you have to go to war with one another. Because while we keep on fighting, the enemy, the imperialists, will take over the country. They've taken it already. They've taken it because of our tendencies to be hegemonic, to exclude others. And it has happened for 21 years. What has it cost? Devastation. And the fact is that when there is a difference, there will always be a difference. But the third parties are all find a way. They look for the differences to take advantage of. So, Mafrika, the two giants, Mafrika, I would say, Rolihlahla Nelson Mandela, Madiba, and Mangalisa Robert Sobukwe. As you know, in Africa, Rolihlahla was sentenced to life imprisonment in 1964 for sabotage and treason. And he was fiery at that time. He was hot. If you remember, Mafrika, you can't take away. You can't take it away. And Mafrika spent almost 27, 28 years on Robben Island. That's a sacrifice. And I'm mentioning this because one of our comrades, I would mention his name, Mark Shinas, said that the head that Rolihlahla used to have at Robben Island, see that head? It was done by our stalwart icon, outstanding, illustrious other son of the soil, Jephthah Semula. Jephthah Semula made that head. And there are other things, Mafrika, that we need to look into how they shared. Like, for example, the very comrade was saying that he was teaching somebody English who got there not knowing to speak English. Now, today this person can speak English fluently. We revert back, and this is the person on another came, the African National Congress. As you know, we had the two major parties, African National Congress and the Pan-Africanist Congress. But there was a point of divergence on principle. And Mo Africa, the state of the country, the state, the condition of Mo Africa individually, is not good. The majority are suffering. That's why we appeal to you, Mo Africa, to your sense, and say, look at what's best for you. Look at the best principles. Look, because some of these things have been repeated. They've been said in the past by those who've passed. They are not new things. So, Mo Africa, Rolihlahla, 28 years on Robben Island. Mangalisa Robert Sobukwe was sentenced, as you remember, for his leading the Sharpeville protest that led to the massacre by the regime. The regime massacres almost 59 of our people, 1960, of the PACs who simply left their pastors at home and said, no, we're not going to carry these chains no more. And Sobukwe, Mangaliso Robert Sobukwe, was sentenced for 3 years for instigating Sharpeville protest. And after 3 years, a Special Amendment Act was made to keep him in detention for another 3 years. So he spent 6 years. So a special act was made in his name just to keep him in jail. And the rest, my Africa, is history, because he was also poisoned. So we start by saying that colonialists stole countries, steal countries. They stole, in fact, the whole of Africa, named it the way they wanted to name it. And they also steal people. They contaminate and steal their minds. They poison and kill their bodies, like they did with Robert Mangaliso Sobukwe. And they try and obliterate their indigenous languages. You remember? Trying to obliterate, making sure that the language of the occupier Africans became the main language of instruction in schools. That's what led to the revolt of June, the student revolt of June 76. So, in Africa, other people live to occupy or enslave others. That is a fact. And even in the animal kingdom, we have ants that live to assassinate or decimate other ants. But in Africa, we showed our resoluteness. We showed our prowess, our power to be able to resist. And as you pointed out, Mafrika, it only started in 1510, the resisting and kicking out, the quiet kicking out the Portuguese, and it ended with the Soweto 1976 Soweto student revolt. Because this was a dynamic struggle. It was dynamic, it was moving forward. It was not static. That's why we are saying that, Mafrika, you also have to be dynamic. You have to also have to open up your eyes, because the 21 years that you fled from Africa has shown us a lot. And in particular, Africa, with respect to the African National Congress and the Pan-Africanist Congress of Azania, especially with the leadership of Africa that they've departed December 5th. That is yesterday. Africa, if you remember the points of dichotomy, the points of difference came with the adoption of the Freedom Charter that was adopted, I think it May, between May, March 31st and April 1st, 1955, if I'm not mistaken, Africa. And it so happens that was the key difference. That was the foundation of the dichotomy, the source of the dichotomy. It says here the Freedom Charter was adopted finally between March 31st and April 1st, 1956. The Declaration of Africa, that South Africa belongs to. And in fact, before we go there, because there was no country called South Africa. There was no country called South Africa before 20th September 1909. That was the date when the British Parliament came up with legislation, proclamation calling the Union of South Africa. As you say, 20th September 1909. And the name of the country was adopted by the South African Parliament. Union of South Africa adopted on May 31, 1910. And 31 May 1961, the Afrikaner decreed, that is, the Afrikaners, the Nationalist Party won. As the minority settler regime, they won as the minority party. But that was the only governing party. So their cut themselves off from the Union of South Africa. The Union, they cut themselves from the British, because Union of South Africa effectively was a British colony. They cut themselves off, but now when we came in 1994, when the ANC black majority government came into power in 1994, they just continued. Just continued with the South Africa thing. Kept the name, colonial name, and everything. So the dichotomy with respect to the divergence, where we break off from Africa, with respect to the adoption of the Freedom Charter. In particular, South Africa belongs to all who live in it, black and white. According to my Africa, the Africanist, Bosomoko and the rest, that phrase forfeited the Africans' inalienable right to full ownership of the country. And it simply said that the white settlers had the right to remain in South Africa. And as I say, that the Africanist position was that the white settlers, the whites have a right to remain in South Africa only if they recognize their position as guests of the African nation and accepted rule by the African majority. So it couldn't be that the country belongs to all those who live in it. Because we've been invaded 1510, 1652. These were people from outside. And they had their first allegiance to what, where they came from. And these are invaders. We did not invite them. These are not our guests. So how could the country belong to them? That is capitulation. And to the Africanists, the phrase South Africa belongs to all who live in it epitomized the ANC's formal commitment to a policy of multiracialism rather than pure African nationalism. And according to the Charter of Africa, the Freedom Charter, all national groups shall have equal rights. Now, right there emphasizes racial distinctiveness for national groups, distinctiveness, that they are distinct and separate. So the Africanists, as we say, that rejected the charter guarantee of equal status for all national groups and races and proclaimed themselves non-racialist, that is, those who recognize people and citizens as individuals, not as members of racial groups. Now, that was the dichotomy. That was the root of the dichotomy between the ANC and the Pan-Africanist Congress, the PEC. In Africa, most important, it appears that the charter was written and driven by the Communist Party. But you couldn't tell that it was so vague. It embraced almost all the non-objectionable aspects, considering that that was the time when the revolution was going on and there were dichotomies in terms of the East and West. But Africa, the Africans were not the initiators of this. And it appears that it was structured in such a way that it became an all-inclusive platform that would be controlled by the small communist core. And that's what happened in Africa. That the communists were in control of the African National Congress, period. And this has led the issue of, because if you remember Africa, we have two or three major periods. First, we have the Freedom Charter, which was, as we say, that initiated by the Communist Party. Second, you had the Sunset Clause, which again was initiated by the head of the Communist Party, George Slover. That's the one who came up with the Sunset Clause. And third, Africa, during the transition, we had the ANC capitulating to the monopoly, apartheid monopolies, including the Oppenheimers. That is a fact. He bought them houses. He bought them everything. He bought them silken sheets. Even Madikizela herself complained that the leadership was sleeping in silken sheets. So that is a fact, Mafika, that has to be known. But what do we do about this? Because from the principle of being multiracialist, dealing with national groups, racial groups, and racial distinctiveness of national groups, it has led to the electoral system, the proportionally regular system, and this electoral system is protecting the minority. So the minority have, in proportion, more votes. They have more electoral power or more parliament, more power in parliament in excess of their votes, the number of votes. So protecting the minority groups. And we are saying that no. We are for the individual. That's why we are saying that Mafrika, stand up. We cannot be voting as racial groups. We should be voting as individual Mafrika. And the point is, Mafrika, if the African has even pointed out that the emphasis on the individual is non-racial, Mafrika. It includes all people. But you cannot vote as segments or grouping from certain communities. You got to vote as an individual. And your vote must give parliamentary representation in proportion to others. You should not be given more because protected because you are a minority. So that's why we are calling for the constituent elections, Mafrika, that I think the Auditor General was calling for. Because according to him, Mafrika, that's a crisis. And you need the voters to be able to take care of their money, take care of your government. And recently, as you know, Mafrika, we've read the constitutional ruling, court ruling, against the reversing the votes in Tlokwe, that is the independent candidates, Mafrika. The court ruled in their favor that the elections must be held again. So there's progress, Mafrika. There's a little bit of progress, but we have ourselves, maybe what we need to do is to push up a referendum that will push the constituent electoral system up front. I think that is the best way Mafrika can do. The other clause, Mafrika, according to the Freedom Charter, was the land shall be shared among those who work it. Now, remember the Native Land Act of 1913, Mafrika, dispossessed 87% dispossessed Africans 87% of their fertile land and left them with 13%. Now, imagine the charter was adopted in 1958 or 1956, if it may be. So that's almost 48 years after. Mafrika, to us, the Africans, the land is a heritage. It's the African heritage, Mafrika. Ownership of the dispossessed land belongs to the African majority. And the Africans demand the return of all the land, expropriation, redistribution of all land dispossessed and stolen under the Native Land Act. Now, how do you, 48 years after the fact, come up with a thing like the land shall be shared among those who work it? Which ones? Which ones? Because the Africans were not allowed to. We need our land back, Mafrika. And according to the complaint of the Africanists, the Clifton Charter has adopted claims the land no longer belongs to the African people but is auctioned for sale among all those who live in the country, including the foreigners. Now, you remember the willing buyer, willing seller. It was the same process. It was the same process. And we have our ANC elite, our brethren, billionaires and millionaires are engaged in land speculation, buying the most expensive and exclusive lands you know, sometimes to be next to the court or to be able to see Robben Island. And these are the people that talk about radical economic transformation. So, Africa, the fact is that according to the comments of others, the charter visualized a transfer of power, opened the way to the development of a non-white bourgeois whose members would be able to own, like, for example, they say that own mills, own factories. Now, they want to create the black bourgeois. And according to some of the commentaries, Africa, it's similar, essentially, that of the principle of the charter is similarly or essentially that of Rousseauian democratic nationalism, an ideology which communists regard as petty bourgeois, romantic, and utopia or utopian. And it turns around, my friends, that people shall govern and share in the country's world. Well, what is happening today? What has happened? Because the national wealth of the country is the heritage from Africa, not the heritage of all those who live in it. Talking about the national wealth of our country, the heritage of South Africa shall be restored to the people. What has happened since 1994? And you talk about the mineral wealth beneath the soil, the banks and monopoly industries shall be transferred to the ownership of the people as a whole. What has happened since 1994? So, my Africa, you got to stand up. Because some of the Africanists, the likes of Mangaliso Sobukwe, have laid down these principles, that the land belongs to the Africans. The wealth under the land belongs to the African majority. It has to return to us. We cannot share it. We cannot share it with the thieves. The vanquished cannot share it with the vanquisher. Occupier cannot share with the occupiers. The occupied cannot be shared with the occupier. It doesn't make sense. Oppressor sharing with the oppressor, or the oppressed sharing with the oppressed. No, you can't do that. It is an inalienable right of the Africans, full ownership, full African ownership, both the land and the wealth and the country itself. And moreover, Africa, former victims of apartheid and economic apartheid. What has happened? Because this was a crime against humanity. So, in Africa, to quote one of the premier Africanists, Leballo, who was saying that the democratic struggle is essentially then a recognition of numbers. A national struggle is a struggle for the recognition of the heritage. Went on to say that the Africans are in the fortunate position of being not only the rightful owners of the land, but also the majority of the population. The ANC leadership and its allies are preoccupied with the democratic struggle to the total exclusion and even open renunciation and denunciation of the national struggle. The Congress leadership interprets the struggle as one for democracy and therefore political struggle designed to remove legal restrictions. It looks like Maverick. We wanted to leave. These folks, they wanted to remove legal restrictions. And also the Congress leadership, if we are to judge by its actions and utterances, recognizes the Nationalist Party government as the rightful government of the country, whose policies, however, it is not in agreement with. Now, they did that. They took the apartheid constitution. They took it, except, of course, for apartheid laws. But they took it, the Nationalist Party government. Israelites in Africa, Fatsila Rona, the land is ours. Tiko Rahina, we thank the privilege of talking to you, Africa, and the privilege of listening. As you say that, Africa, the dichotomies, we've pointed them out, and we will continue, and you are responsible, Africa, because you are the owner of the land and the owner of the country. Israelites.